I want you to get up now. I want all of you to get up out of your chairs. I want you to get up right now and go to the window, open it, and stick your head out and yell, I'm mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore.
Listen up, you motherfuckers.
Politics, politics. Humor, humor, tequila, tequila, and an IQ of under 64. Yeah. You're listening to Art Cop Radio, 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 Radio,
Radio. Hi, my name is Bart. Welcome to Show 58. Oh, it's been so long since I had a chance to talk to you, and now I'm back. Oh, between being out of town, you know, I was sick, and then I left town, and then I came back sick, one thing after another, but we think we're through that. We're in day two or three of my 10-day antibiotic battalion. So, yeah, hopefully we'll come right out of this. Oh, geez, we got 2 days until the election. Please make things go right. Oh, Koresh, help us. We need this one real bad. Oh, I just can't do another 4 years of that monkey. I think you probably agree. Well, what kind of show we got for you today? Once again, it has taken on a whole life of its own. When we started this show, I had no idea that the Ben Stein beatdown was going to be a good fourth of it. Me and Tommy were able to put together a little thing. We got the Ben Stein beatdown. We got the usual composite of funny little this and that. And we still got a fourth that I need to come up with. Ah, we can do it. No problemo. But to start off the show today, what do we need? Let me think. Oh, that's right. Shot of Chinaco. Oh, I love the Chinaco. Oh, boy. You know, it's going to be a good show when we start off with the Tanaka. There was that one show we didn't do the Tanaka. Oh, it was awful. But all the other shows where we started off with the Tanaka came out real good. This would be no exception. So here we are. You're probably going to, hopefully, you're going to hear this the night before the big election. But I guess there's a chance during the day you're not going to hear much a lot about. I'm not sure what you can hear Tuesday. You know, they're not, the first election news that could possibly come in is going to start at 8 o'clock Tuesday night, so yeah, at the worst, maybe we'll get this Tuesday, but, oh, we need this one, Lord, please make this work. So, all right, let's get into Show 58. Let's hope it's a good one.
This is www.bartcop.com.
Sunday morning, I turn on the TV, and I see Ben Stein on that CBS Sunday morning show. Don't like Ben Stein. Never did. Hope I don't meet him in person. Wouldn't want to get arrested. But Ben Stein was begging to be slapped, and I have a microphone, so I'm going to engage him with some monkey slapping as he explains the greatness of W.
Now one last presidential debate. Only this time the participants are two of our Sunday morning contributors. First up, Ben Stein.
Here, in a nutshell, is why I will be voting for George W. Bush. First, he's a sane, sound guy.
Now, I'm going to try to be nice instead of the usual explosions, but, Mr. Stein, how in the world can you say that George W. Bush is some kind of sane and normal man? He's never accomplished anything in his entire life on his own. He grew up a spoiled little rich kid. Everything was given to him. He's never had to do anything. He's never been tested. Nobody knows what he's capable of because he's never been put to a test. He's always been shielded by his family. And as far as him being some kind of normal, nice person, geez, he promised during the campaign to be a compassionate conservative and how he's going to be the president of all the states and all the people. And then when he got in there, he went totally crazy Nazi on us. He went all the way over to the right wing. I think it was on yesterday's page, Hunter S. Thompson, who I think we'd all agree is a little on the lefty side, he said he would gladly vote for Nixon compared to this monkey in the White House. He is not kidding. How in the world can anybody say that George Bush is anything other than some kind of crazy monster who lied us into some crazy war, got a whole bunch of kids killed, got a perhaps up to 100,000 Iraqis killed, and he's a normal guy? Because he just felt in his gut that God told him to go bomb a country. How in the world can you say that's anywhere near normal, Mr. Stein?
He married for love and stayed married.
Let's see, here we go. Typical Republican crap. He's attacking Kerry for having married twice. So, You have to, by that same brush, you're attacking Reagan, you're attacking the vulgar pig boy, you're attacking Newt Gingrich. But see how they want it both ways? It's the same argument. They want to be able to call Hillary a baby killer, but when you point out that the president married a baby killer and his president's mother is a baby killer, they say, oh, new subject. They can't face the facts of their own passions. They can't follow through with what they think. They say something, when you point out that what they said was not true, they have to change the subject, or they're forced to agree with us. So for him to say, oh, he married for love, and another shot at Kerry, because Teresa Hines has wealth. Well, you know, if you've got some argument that he married her for money, make it. But don't do this backdoor slimy thing about, oh, Bush married for love and he stuck with her. Well, you know, besides Bush's father, can you name another Republican? Bob Dole didn't do it. I mean, you can go down the whole list. You're not going to find anybody, hardly. I guess Hastert probably still with his wife, if he's married. Is he married to a sweaty wrestler, or is he married to a woman? But anyway, if you're going to attack all the people who have been divorced, then you're attacking Reagan and Rush and Newt and all the others, so that just seems like a slimeball thing to do. How can you accuse our side of that which your side is more guilty?
He's not a snob or a prima donna.
Now, how can you say that? Are you confusing uneducated and stupid with not being an elite? I mean, he grew up at Andover. He grew up in Kennebunkport. He went to Yale and Harvard. I mean, he's just as much a Northeastern preppy as Al Gore or John Kerry ever was. And just because he'd never made anything out of himself, how does that equate into he's a nice, normal, sane guy with his feet on the ground? That doesn't make any sense. And the idea that he's not some kind of elitist, well, you know, if you're a Kennedy and you have hundreds of billions of dollars and you spend your life trying to help the poor and the disadvantaged, you know, you try to raise the minimum wage and do something about health care for the poor, well, somehow you think that's elitist. But if you're a super billionaire's kid who wants to spend his whole life giving tax breaks to the super rich and helping big business make more billions, how does that not turn into some kind of elitist?
He can laugh at his own limitations.
He has no choice but to laugh at his limitations because he has so many of them. Again, he has never accomplished anything in his life. Did he graduate from Yale and Harvard with the same amount of credentials as he became president? Did his daddy just buy him a diploma? Did his daddy just write a check and give the University of Yale some wing? Did he pay for the new law building and somehow in return they gave his boy a degree? Because the monkey can't do anything. If the monkey had half a brain, he could answer questions at a press conference. For him to stand there and go, I don't know, that doesn't install confidence that he knows what he's doing. How could he have possibly graduated fifth grade with his lack of continuous thought, his low wattage brain power that I think the most effective communicating he ever did was reading that My Pet Goat with the second graders, because that's what kind of level the little monkey's on. The idea that he laughs at his limitations. Well, what other choice does he have? He can't face up to them. He can't get any better. He can't get any smarter. All he can do is say, I'm a C student.
He is a man of faith and makes no bones about it.
Well, 2 points. You say he's a man of faith, but is he? Does a man of faith kill 100,000 Iraqis because he wants to steal their oil? Does a man of faith send 1,120 men counting so far to their deaths just to impress his daddy and steal some assets for the family fund? Would a man do that? And you talk about him being a religious man. Well, if he is, he is dangerously so. Again, I don't know about these things, but Bill Maher said that Bush operates on this theory that Jesus Christ is coming back, and this apparently is happening very soon, and Jesus Christ can't land until Israel no longer exists. Now, how dangerous is it to have that kind of fatalistic bullshit running through your head while you've got your finger on the button? You know, there's another theory from a long time ago that we had to invade Afghanistan because at some point China was going to get the nukes and sell them to Afghanistan, and they were going to blow up Israel, so to preempt all that, we had to get in there and knock them out first. I mean, if that was the kind of rationale for going to war, he should have said so at the time. But no, he said we had to do it because they were going to launch in 45 minutes. But to have someone that dangerously, religiously insane in charge of the button, in charge of the continuing of life on the planet Earth, yeah, that's a little more religion I think we can stand.
He's committed to the defense of life.
Now, Ben, I'm going to assume for a second that you're not just a dirty, rotten, partisan whore. But how in the hell can you say that? He giggles when he kills. How in the world do you make that leap that he's committed to life? When he was a governor, a part-time governor, remember the governor of Texas worked 6 months every 2 years, so that means at most he worked a fourth of the time, about like he does in Washington. But when they came to him with a sentencing report from the parole, the Texas parole, whatever it's called, he wouldn't bother to read the report. He would say to whoever brought the report in, did the guy do it? Can you sum it up for me? And they'd put like a cover page on the top. Instead of reading the cover page, he'd say, well, did he do it? And they'd say, oh. And he'd say, well, then kill him. And then he'd go back to his fucking Game Boy. How in the world can anybody say the man has anything to do with being pro-life in that sense? When you drop the mother of all bombs on a city of 5 million people, how can you think for a second that he has any kind of regard for life? The man giggles when he kills. When he talked about executing those Republicans who dragged James Byrd to his death in Texas, he giggled right there on the television, right in the middle of a debate. He giggled about how fun it was going to be to murder those people. And that Carla Faye Tucker, please don't kill me. He thought that was the funniest joke he'd ever come up with. Please don't kill me, because he was going to execute a Christian woman, a woman that found Jesus. He got fun out of killing her, Mr. Stein. How in the world can you defend those crazy words you're saying? Now, I understand that you like the man because he's got an R after his name. You're a very wealthy man. He's going to give you money. You're selling out your principles for a couple of thousand extra dollars on April 15th. How in the world does that make Bush some kind of good, decent man who respects life when he gives... These Iraqi people are nothing more than frogs with firecrackers in their asses. That's what he's doing. He's sticking a firecracker in the asses of these Iraqi people and throwing them up the air. And when they blow up and that big crimson spray falls on the leaves, he just thinks that's the cutest, funnest thing ever. And you say you like the way he respects life, Mr. Stein? Is that right?
Second, he loves this country as a special, unique nation. He doesn't see it as just one of a number of countries of historic note.
Ben, I'm thinking you couldn't come up with any legitimate reasons to vote for the man, so you just fabricated a bunch of horse shit. The idea, could even the evil Bush idiot monkey, could he think that the United States is just another country? Now, how in the world do you become president of the United States and therefore the ruler of the planet and think of the only superpower as just another country? That makes no sense at all. And what he's doing, you're going to hear it in a minute, this is an excuse for them to yell at France. How in the world does calling France a bunch of faggots make America stronger or save lives or do anything for our status in the world? Calling France a bunch of faggots does nothing. How in the world does that help anything?
To him, it's not another France or Germany.
My only guess, the reason why you would want to scream faggot at France and Germany is because you have to somehow cover up the fact that America has no more friends. America has no allies. How many dozens of years has it been since America had no allies? The world hates us. And to cover that up, they say, oh, who needs a bunch of French faggots? And who needs those stupid krauts in Germany? And those slimy Italians? And those stupid vodka-drinking Ruskies? And those slant-eyed Japs? Who needs them? We're America. We're the superpower. We're so powerful. We got God on our side, and we got nuclear bombs. You want me to blow you up, faggot? That's what this administration is. That's all they can do. Instead of saying we can't get along with our friends, hell, they could be half honest and say we disagree with our friends, the French, and thank you for the centuries that you stood behind us. Thank you for helping us get Britain off our backs, helping us to become a free nation. Thank you, France. But in this case, we disagree, but we're still pals. No, it's not like that. But the French are a bunch of faggots. That's all they've got. Since America is alone in the world, they have to be the big bully. Instead of saying, is there some way we could make friends? No, they say, we don't need you, faggot. That's what the United States has become, the biggest bully in the world. And this monkey thinks Bush is some kind of good and decent moral man?
America to him is a shining city on a hill on which God shed his grace as never before on a nation or a people.
What a clumsy and senseless, gratuitous hand job that is. How in the world do you look at starving children and malnourished children and, 40, 50 million families without any kind of health care who can't get ahead in life, who can't make ends meet, who spend all their time running from the repo man and trying to keep the electricity on in the house? How in the hell do you look those people in the eye and explain to them what a great shining city on the hill they live in? That is just bullshit. If you're Ben Stein, if you're Bill Clinton, if you're Oprah, if you're Bill Gates, if you're Warren Buffett, if you're one of those people that just makes too much money, sure, America's a big playground. It's all a big joke. Let's go to France. No, we can't go to France. They're a bunch of faggots. Let's go to London and have dinner. Let's go to Hawaii and spend a weekend. Let's go. Let's just spend a few million dollars on some bullshit. Let's get in your private jet and fly to Rio and look at the chicks. I mean, if that's what your life's about, yeah, America's a big shining city. But what about the people that don't have the millions, Mr. Stein? What about the disenfranchised, what, 3/4 or 80% of America? What about them? Fuck them? Is that your answer to America, Ben? You and the little monkey Republican. You've had, I don't know if Ben Stein grew up with money, but we know the monkey did. And that's why it's so easy to have this cavalier attitude. I got mine. Go get yours. Fuck you. I'm not going to help you. I got mine. I don't care if you get yours. If you can't make it, go to hell.
He doesn't think we need anyone's permission to defend America. And he's totally right.
Ben, what the hell are you thinking? Are you that stupid? You can't be. It just kills me that you can't be that stupid. You have to be faking this. You have to be faking your stupidity because you can't be that stupid. When Kerry mentioned about the global test, we all know what he meant. He meant if everyone on the planet says, please stop murdering, please don't murder those people, whether you're not passing much of a global test. If the whole planet hates what you're doing, there's a chance that you're wrong. That's all that meant. If everybody hates you, maybe you're a fuck-up. Ben, you idiot. Nobody said when Osama blew up New York that Kerry's going to get on the phone and call France and ask them for permission. You know that is a lie. How can you sit there and repeat a monkey lie? You know that's a lie. What is wrong with you? How do you have the gall to get on nationwide television and look the camera right in the eye and make shit up? How dare you? Ben, when did Mr. Kerry say, I'm going to get on my knees like Bush did for China when they stole our airplane and begged them for permission to defend America? The exact opposite is true. Why do you keep lying? When China shot our plane out of the sky that they say was in international waters, Bush got on his knees and begged them. He begged them, please, please, we're so sorry. Please give our plane back. We're so sorry. That's what he did. He got on his fucking knees and he begged the Chi-Coms to play nice. And now you turn around and accuse Kerry, who took shrapnel in Vietnam for the war you loved, of being some kind of pussy who's going to look for permission to defend us. He didn't ask anybody's permission to go to Vietnam and get wounded. Bush got permission from his daddy to hide. Now see, those are the facts. Why do you continue to hide from the facts the way Bush hid from his responsibility when he got drunk and went AWOL after signing a contract during wartime to defend his country, you monkey?
He's not living in a dream world thinking we're going to be rescued in Iraq by the likes of France and Russia.
Here we go with the French faggots again. Nobody wants the French faggots to save us, Mr. Stein. You are a liar. We're talking about right now, we have, as I record this, we got 1,120 some odd dead in Iraq. The point of involving other nations would be instead of 1,100 dead Americans, what if we had only 600 dead Americans and 100 dead Italians, 100 dead French, 100 dead Germans, 100 dead whatever? See, we didn't need to fight this whole war in the first place, but once we're in it and we're going to have casualties, we can either take them on all ourselves or we can spread that casualty rate around. Why do you want all the dead to be Americans, Mr. Stein? The reason all the Americans are dead is because Bush's family and his friends and his the BFEE cohorts, they're making the $100 million a day in Iraq because we're stealing the money. Our boys are dying. Now, how does that end up as fair on your ledger, Mr. Stein? If France and Germany and the other countries had a piece of the economic pie, they would have a piece of the casualties, but no. We've got all the casualties, and it's not that America's getting the benefits. No, just Bush's friends are getting the benefits. Bush has sold out those men that he sent into battle for profits for his friends. What is wrong with you, Mr. Stein? Why do you want more American dead? That's the bottom line. We didn't need to have any American dead, but once that idiot pulled the trigger and started this war, now we're going to have dead. Now, do we want every dead person to be American, Mr. Stein, or would we like to spread some of that heartache around to some other countries? You son of a bitch. You want more American dead? Explain yourself.
He has shown remarkable character about Israel. Despite receiving only about 1 in 5 Jewish votes in 2000, he has stood up for Israel steadfastly against the terrorists.
I disagree. He made fun of Bill Clinton trying to make peace over there. How many times have you heard a Republican say, oh, Bill Clinton was always having Yasser Arafat over to the White House? Yes, because you can't get peace without talking to your enemies. Bush thinks you can bomb everybody into the peace process. You can't do that. Clinton tried to talk to Arafat. Do you remember? Well, boy, I wish I had a detail, man, but in the year 2000, in the summer of 2000, Bush had Arafat and Perez or Shimon or whoever it was up in Camp David, and they were about to hammer out a deal. And that idiot Yasser Arafat was reluctant to do anything. And then the Bush family contacted the Israelis and said, don't make a deal now. We'll give you a better deal if you forego the peace process. Fine. The idiots went for it. The BFEE crashed Clinton's last-ditch attempt to do something about the Middle East. And then when Bush got in there, what did he do? He made a grand statement about, they're not going to have peace on our timetable. We have to have peace on their timetable, which goes back 3,000-4,000 years. You monkey! Bush turned his back on the peace process. How many dead have we had since Bush became president? Answer that for me, Mr. Stein. How in the world does, if you're pro-Jewish, how do you want war in the Middle East to continue? How is that possible? Can't you even vote your best interest? Why do you want the peace process stopped in Israel, Mr. Stein? Can you explain that?
Third, he's loyal. He doesn't saw off our fighting men and women at the knees by saying they're dying in the wrong war at the wrong time in the wrong place.
Let me get this straight. To use words is to betray the troops, to send them into battle for no goddamn reason without the armor or the weaponry or even water to be in the desert. To send those innocent men to die for no reason, that is somehow being noble. But if you say this is a stupid war, now you're betraying the troops? What in the world is wrong with me? Why does more death always end up being good for your side? Why is that? That's something that just keeps creeping in again and again. The more death, the more tanks we blow up, the more Poppy Bush makes with his Carlyle Group investments. The more countries Bush invades, the more oil they get to steal. How come every time, it's like every time an American dies, the Bush family gets another 100 million? And so if 1,000 men die, that's 10 billion for the BFE. If 10,000 men die, that's 100 billion for the BFEE. Why is that, Mr. Stein? Why does American death equal Bush profits, and why are you so happy about that? Can you explain any of these contradictions, you monkey?
He has never called American warriors war criminals, as some have done.
The reason that Bush has never done that is because when it came time for him to serve, his daddy got him a local job to where he would be safe, and he left it going drunk, snorting a bunch of cocaine, and deserting it. That's why he has no idea what happened in Vietnam. He refused to go. He's a draft dodger. He is a coward. It's so easy to sit in your barca lounger in Crawford, Texas and say, oh, I'm behind the troops. Well, they died 10 by 10. Meanwhile, the man who went over there, fought for his country, took shrapnel for his country that's still in his body because the doctors can't dig that deep. Somehow he's the coward. Why is telling the truth bad for the United States? Why is telling the truth bad for George Bush? Why is the truth always the enemy of the Republicans? Speaking the truth will get you ostracized in this country. You can't do that. But if you stand up and say, the troops are great, and let's kill another 1,000 of them, that's a good idea. Let's vote for this guy. Let's give this monkey another 4 years. How many dead servicemen are we going to have by 2009 if this son of a bitch gets in there for another term? What country will he invade next? How many hundreds of millions a day are they going to make off this? And the whole time, Bush doesn't have an opinion on Vietnam because he wasn't there. By the way, Mr. Stein, for you to guarantee us that there were no war crimes committed in Vietnam, what is your status? Where were you at the time? Were you in Vietnam? Were you in Vietnam for many, many years and never saw or heard of any war crimes? Is that what you're trying to tell us, Mr. Stein? Are you another one of these rich guys that sat back on their ass in the States and wants to judge what the people in Vietnam saw with their own eyes? How dare you? Why is death always good for your side, Mr. Stein?
Our military men and women need to know their mission is valuable and appreciated, and George Bush tells them they are not fighting and dying in vain.
Perhaps you've accidentally stumbled onto the truth. The troops possibly want to be lied to. The idea they are dying in vain, that is a fact. We are not safer now than we were 2-3 years ago. We just fucking aren't. You can say we are, you can say that there's fewer terrorists now, but that's a lie. Why do you send men into battle, and then as they die, 10 by 10, tell them, you're doing a good job. What you're doing is noble. Go for it, boys. And then a month goes by, and you got another, 200 dead? And you say, you go, boys. You're fighting noble. And another month goes by, and you got another 200 dead? And you say, what a noble war. Go get them, boys. Didn't we go through this once? Didn't we lose 55,000 in Vietnam before somebody said, hey, maybe this isn't such a hot idea? Maybe this constant repetition of death might not be good for America on the whole as the years go by? But somehow this principle doesn't apply in Iraq. Somehow dying in Iraq is a good thing. Are you thinking we're getting points in heaven for every death, Mr. Stein? Is that where this is going? Why is pushing men into a meat grinder patriotic? What are they fighting? Mr. Stein, how many of your sons and daughters are fighting and dying to free Fallujah? Please explain, Mr. Stein. How many dead would you like? We got 1,100. What do you think? We should go to 15? Should we go to 2,500? Should we go to 10,000? Should we go all the way to 58,000 and build another wall in Washington? Explain yourself, Mr. Stein. You can. All you can do is throw out these floppy little bullshit-isms about how things aren't. You're coming up with these fake quotes and these wild ideas that are exactly 180 degrees different from the facts. Telling a man a war is noble does not make the war noble.
I think he has done well with an economy he inherited that had real problems of a collapsing stock market and a gathering recession.
Total, absolute bullshit. If I had a staff, if I had a library of clips, I could pull out the quotes from Bush in the year 2000, say, we're going to give the tax money back to the people because the government has so much money and the economy is in such good shape. It would be criminal for the government to hold on to their money, so we're going to give it back because things are so good. That's what he said. It's a fact. You're lying again, Mr. Stein. The only way you can make a point is to take the truth, throw it out the window, and come up with a different set of facts that never existed, and then pretend they're true. And you've got the monkey half of this nation that's willing to buy that bullshit. Why does nobody but me remember that Bush said again and again, the economy is so good, we're going to give all this money back. Now we've got no money. We're in a never-ending war. We're $11 trillion worse off than we were when he took over. And you can't stand how good a job he's doing.
We're clearly in a time of prosperity now, although I do think he went too far on taxes.
Clearly in a time of prosperity. The only way you can make that true is to compare it to 2 or 3 years ago. If you compare it to 5 or 7 or 8 years ago, we are in a horrible depression and we can't get out of it. We're just spinning in the toilet waiting for the final slosh to come down. Where is this prosperity you're talking about, Mr. Stein? Is it the families who no longer have health care? Is it the people who no longer have jobs? Is it the people who traded a $20 an hour job for minimum wage? Sure, the rich are a whole lot richer because Bush is borrowing money from foreign countries to give to the super rich. So sure, those people are better off. The 1 or 2% at the top are better off. And somehow, the other 98% are voting tax cuts. They are co-signing loans in the form of tax cuts to give to Bill Gates and Oprah. It makes no sense, but when you got people like Stein who get on the TV and look the camera right in the eye and lie like crazy, some people buy it. I don't know why anybody making less than $500,000 a year is going to vote to give someone else more money. Bill Gates and Oprah can get by without me working harder to give them a break.
He's not perfect. He's not George Washington.
Well, we know that's true because George Bush tells monstrous lie after monstrous lie. Yes, Clinton was a liar, too. He lied about his girlfriend. But he didn't get 100,000 foreigners killed and 1,100 soldiers killed, and he didn't lose $11 trillion and pollute the skies and the water and the air. What is wrong with you? How in the world can anybody say Bush is doing a good job on any measurable scale? He has done a horrible, horrible job. You can say you like America better because the president's not having sex. But when you compare that to the 1,100 dead soldiers, the 1,100 destroyed families, when you multiply that out, you know, when the guy next to you at work was murdered in Iraq, yeah, that affects the people in your section of work. That also affects his cousins, his aunts and uncles, the people on his block, the people he knew in high school and college. You know, one dead guy puts a lot of grief into maybe 250 people. So when you got 1,100 dead people, you got, 300,000-400,000 people going through the worst times of their lives, all because Bush wanted to steal Iraq's oil You idiot. You can't make any kind of sense if you tell the truth. So you fabricate this horseshit and the people buy it. Oh, my God, I wish I could sell the truth as well as you bastards can sell a lie.
He's George W. Bush, who happened to be president on 9/11.
First of all, he didn't happen to be president. He stole his way into the job. Once he got there, he ignored the warnings. They said, Osama's coming, we need to do something. And he said, fine, I'm going on vacation. I don't fucking care. And now you're talking about what a great president he was on 9/11. This great leadership he showed by disappearing and wetting his pants. Where is that good leadership? How does that come out to be anything other than a scared little boy who's in a panic because he doesn't know what to do? That look on his face that we saw in the Michael Moore movie when he was told America was under attack and he stood there playing with that stupid goat for the next, they say it 7 minutes. He was in front of the camera 7 minutes. Then he went and walked around the school for a while and waited for some kind of adult to tell him what to do. How is that great leadership? He didn't happen to be president that day. He stole his way into power and he got us into this mess. Afghanistan, I'll give you a carpet full of bombs or a carpet full of gold. What do you want? They didn't trust him. They knew he was coming no matter what, so they struck first. That's bungling that caused the rearranging of the New York skyline. 3,000 dead, never-ending world war. But you love the guy, Mr. Stein? Is that what you're telling us?
And has responded to it superbly.
He responded to 9/11 superbly. He didn't catch the people responsible. He gave billionaires tax cuts during wartime that's never been done. He invaded a relatively innocent country that didn't attack us, didn't have the capability to attack us, and you're giving him points for doing the right thing. How is that possible, Mr. Stein, other than you being a gratuitous whore?
He's not Abe Lincoln.
Well, we know that's true because Lincoln was a wise man who freed the slaves. Bush is a monkey who wants to enslave the slaves. Remember the great Lincoln-Douglas debates? Well, compare that to the great Bush debates, where he stood there and said, I don't know. If it's what I said it was, then I agree with it. But if it's not, then I don't. And aren't we out of time? Besides, stay the course. It's hard work. Everybody knows that. Yeah, you're right. He's no Lincoln.
He's just the best guy out there in an uncertain and dangerous world.
No, he's not the best guy out there. He's the only president we've had since we've suffered our biggest attack on his watch. General Clark said something on Bill Maher last night. When you're the captain of the boat and it runs aground, they don't ask you what you were doing. They say, were you captain of the boat? And you say yes. And they say, did it hit the ground? And when you say yes, then you are guilty. You are responsible. That was your boat that hit, that ran aground, and whatever, men died or the boat was ruined or whatever. It happened on Bush's watch. He keeps trying to blame Clinton, going back in time a year, saying maybe Clinton should have responded to this. Well, Clinton didn't get the August 6th memo saying Osama's coming, and you better watch out because he's using planes. All this happened on Bush's watch, but somehow he's the greatest ever because he was the fireman when the firehouse burned down. Yeah, the fire chief that stood there and watched the firehouse burn down is the greatest fire chief ever. That doesn't make any sense in anybody's world, Mr. Stein.
He's in it for America, not to fulfill a lifelong burning ambition.
He invaded the wrong country for America. He's stealing $100 million a day for America. He's not in it for himself. Is it just an accident that the oil companies are making unprecedented hundreds of millions of dollars? Just yesterday we saw Texaco, Chevron Texaco was up 62% in profits. The oil companies are drowning in unearned billions. And you're saying Bush is not in this for him. The BFEE is 1,000 times stronger than they were when they stole the election. How are we ever going to get him out of the White House? How do you get absolute corrupt power to say no to more corrupt power? They're not going to do it. They have personally stolen the planet. And if the Democrats would ever get up off their ass one time and say something about that, maybe some people would see it that way. But as long as the Democrats bend over for Bush and the press is on their payroll because they want their tax cut and their consolidation of power too, all we got some websites and whores like Stein to muck it up.
And I want to keep him on the job. But if his opponent wins, God bless him too. He'll need it.
What a sanctimonious, distractive hand job that is. After telling lie after lie after lie, after telling 100 lies, at the very end he closes with, oh, and God bless Kerry if he wins. Like he's been telling the truth for the last fucking half hour. Ben Stein, don't you ever run into me. Don't you never fucking do that. Well, when this rant started, I said I was going to try to be calm and try to be all that, but not sure I was entirely successful in my attempt, but it is so hard to look a guy, you know, Charles Manson is such a caring man who is so devoted to life. Oh, he's such a sweet and tender man who's done such good work with young girls of Southern California. I mean, you just want to strangle the son of a bitch. What is wrong with you? And somehow they've elevated him to this status of godhood to where he makes Reagan look like some pitiful liberal piker bastard who never belonged in politics. W is so great. It's just, oh my God, he's just so great. When all the facts say otherwise. And it just drives a person nuts. Someone who's got half a grasp on reality. This religiously insane, maybe that explains it, I don't know. I'm not saying all the bushbackers are religiously insane, but all religiously insane people are bushbackers. It goes that way. But somehow, I don't think I succeeded in my attempt to remain calm through Stein's litany of lies there. But whatever came out of me came out from the heart, and it was honest, and I mean it. That lying son of a bitch, he's there to further his tax cut. He can't possibly mean what he said. Go back and listen to it again. Show me where I'm wrong. Show me where Stein was right. You're not going to find it.
You're listening to Bart Cop Radio. Because if you are watching Bart Cop Radio, it gets real boring.